Hello, and welcome back to the Sorta Helpful podcast. My name's Blake, and there's no Sonia again. What? Yeah, unfortunately, Sonia had an emergency, but she's okay. She just needed to get her wisdom teeth pulled out, and she's healing right now, of course. She sent me a picture of her with, like, gauze in her mouth and an ice pack and, like, her classic thumbs up and smile. Yeah, hoping for a speedy recovery for her, and most likely leaning on the better side, she will be back next episode. I don't know. Yeah, you're stuck with me again, so that's cool. How has this week gone? You know, it feels like I just got done recording the last episode. That's how fast and such of a blur this week was. I feel like I only just did school. And even that, I was just tired the whole week and didn't really take anything in, which is kind of scary. I did pump out a couple projects this week and a bunch of homework, and I still have more homework to do, but that's okay. Never let the weight of homework get you down and try not to procrastinate. That's my advice. I was supposed to go to a concert today or tonight, but I didn't want to go because their COVID protocol was, like, non-existent. They had no protocol whatsoever, so that was a no for me, dog. I thought I'd have more to talk about before I get into the topic, but I don't have that much, so I guess I can make this a good segue. I have faith in myself. Okay, even I'm kind of making y'all aware of the segue, though, so it's not as smooth as I thought. Anyways, see, I'm already doing it. I'm already doing what I was going to talk about. I'm constantly on my phone, and it's to the point where it's, like, it's redundant. It's not needed, really, at all. Like, I always check my phone. Mainly it's for the time, and I've tried to have a watch on my wrist, like an actual time-reading watch that's not digital, just so I can relieve myself of trying to look at my phone all the time and seeing, like, oh, did anybody text me? And it's pretty much always a no. But that's okay. And, yeah, I mean, for a long time ago, far, far away, no, I used to, like, religiously check my phone, like, every 2 minutes, all the time, and I would get so down because no one would, like, text me or do anything or whatever. And, like, my expectations, like, let's just bring it to middle school, I guess. My expectations were, like, okay, everybody's on their phone all the time. That must mean that they're all talking to each other, which means that they're not talking to me, which means that everybody hates me, and that's why they're not talking to me. And I feel like they're all talking to each other on their phones, talking about me. Mainly just anxiety that was going through my little noggin. Turns out not everybody really cares that much. Not everybody is conspiring against you. I don't even know what people would have been conspiring against me about. That's just the overthinking kicking in. Anyways. So, after a while, I think it was recently, like last year, maybe during the pandemic, when it first started, that I turned off all the unnecessary notifications on my phone. I used to keep them all on because it made me feel important or made me feel like a reason to check my phone so I can clear them out. But I turned them all off, like YouTube notifications, just like apps being like, hey, you wanna like premium or something? And I'm like, no. Turned them all off. And then I realized, like, wow, my screen looks super empty even with the lack of text messages I get. That was a slurp of words. It kind of helped because then my brain is like, okay, you don't have much to look at all the time, so why do you need to look at your phone? So it's helpful and it's not helpful in a way because it makes me feel sometimes like, oh, I'm wanted or I'm needed or some way, shape or form when I hear like a ding, you know? But now it doesn't feel as much as I'm needed. But I guess it adds more to the effect of when I do get a notification where it's like, oh, this is rare. This is a rare anomaly. Oops, sorry. This mic is not that firm, and my wrist just cracked like the crack of dawn. But yeah, like when I hear a notification, it's like, oh, that's either my dad or someone who was trying to get back to me, or I don't know. But yeah, I think that that's a tip or advice that I have. If you feel like you're on your phone too much because you hear the notifications going off, like, just go to your settings and turn off the notifications for the apps and stuff that you don't really need. You don't need to have that notification that the tips on the iPhone wants to help you discover your iPhone more, or, you know, all these other things. But yeah, let's keep talking about phones. It feels like I just recorded the last episode, but also I cannot remember what I said last episode at the same time. I know I talked about body image and a little bit of social media. sorry, my throat's a little wonky. Just had some breakfast. I don't need to be on my phone that often. Like, let's take a deep dive. All I have on my phone, well, I have a lot. It's mainly for decoration reasons. I have my messages, my Snapchat, notes, Instagram, Spotify, Pinterest, TikTok. You know, the school apps and stuff, weather, whatever. I don't really use much. I don't got games on my phone, okay? I don't have games on my phone. I used to have tons of games because I was just, like, so bored anytime I went somewhere and I would see everybody else on their phone. I'm like, wow, they must be so important. I need to look that important. So I'm gonna play Flappy Bird on my phone. So just the lack of interest I had for phone games, it's just like 100%. I don't really care for games on phones. So that's why I don't have that much. But yeah, it's mostly just social media. I'm only on my phone for like a couple reasons at a time. I mean, maybe I'll check my calendar. Maybe I'll try and find a funny photo or change my lock screen photo. Yeah, I'm not on Snapchat that much. Instagram, I'm trying to be on more, because I like it. I'm on Pinterest a lot. Let's take a look at my screen time. Okay, daily average, 4 hours and 12 minutes. That compared to a couple years ago, which was like 9 hours. I think that was because I was in school and I would check it all the time. I mean, and now in college, I don't check my phone that much. Maybe just to check the time, but, like, my classes aren't that long where I'm, like, dreading it. See all activity. Let's see. I'm on my social media a lot. It says, like, it has a little graph and everything. It's so organized. Oh my gosh. No. It's showing me the time that I'm on each app. 10 hours and 33 minutes on TikTok. Oh my God. That's just me trying to get to sleep. That's what that is. 4 hours and 12 minutes on Instagram, 2 hours on messages, 2 hours on notes app, 2 hours on Snapchat, 1 hour on Spotify, 1 hour on Pinterest. Just this week? Wow. I feel like I'm on Pinterest a lot more, and my music. Maybe because I'm not in the app. Daily pickups, average 40, what? Oh my gosh, I pick up my phone, daily average is 84 times I pick up my phone. Most pickups this week, I picked up my phone 136 times on Tuesday. What the heck? Total pickups, 591. Wow, that puts it into perspective. Daily average, wow. There's like an average and then there's like, oh my God, what did I do Tuesday? Oh, I think I didn't have class on Tuesday, that's why. I'm sorry, I'm getting out of hand or off topic. But total screen time, oh my God, 30 hours and 34 minutes this week. Wow. Take a look at y'all's screen times. And even if you have to, put some timers on that on your apps. Wow, scheduled downtime. See, I don't like doing that when I have app limits or downtime or whatever. Or like, hey, it's time for you to go to bed. Like, I feel like that gives me more freedom because I don't have, it sounds like I'm so smart, but I'm not. It feels like it gives me more freedom because I'm responsible for my own life and I don't have to have a piece of technology telling me, hey, it's time to do this, it's time to do that because you're so out of whack. I mean, there's no shame in doing it. I feel like it just makes me feel a little weird because I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that I had to do that or it was time to go to bed or whatever. I mean, it's okay for time, let to, wow. It's okay to let time slip away for people. It's okay to let, you know, just time pass you by because you're in depth in this book or you're doing your homework or whatever. Or, yeah, I mean, I have alarms that tell me like, hey, at 2 o'clock, you need to go this place. You need to do that. Why can't I speak English? Excuse me. But yeah, would the app limit things though? I feel like that would make me really pissed off. I tend to like, when I find myself just aimlessly scrolling and I'm like at home or out in public and I'm just like, ah, when that sigh comes in, I'm like, okay, I think I need to get off my phone. Yeah. Wow, the phone has been updated so much. We've come a long way in technology. So let's get back to a little on topic here. Sorry, I got so invested in looking at my phone statistics. I was just so interested because I don't look at it often. But yeah, I mostly, the majority of things that I need on my phone are like messaging and contacting and phone calls. My alarms help me out and my notes app keeps me organized. And even like my college's app tells me like what time my classes end and stuff. Cause sometimes I forget, or sometimes I just need to look at the whole thing and be like, okay, I have time for this. I have time for that. I don't have time for this and blah, blah, blah. Can you hear that bird? Oh my gosh, that's funny. I don't think you guys can hear that, but that's so funny. It's just, anyways, let's see. I wrote down a bunch of stuff. My notes helps me remember things. I do fear that people are trying to contact me and that I'm missing out on it because so many times I'm on the other end of that where I'm trying to contact people and I'm just waiting for them to get back to me. God, that bird is really screwing me up. My point is that I'm always trying to pick up my phone to see like, oh my God, did I miss someone's notification? Cause my phone's on do not disturb. Because I'm not gonna lie, I know people have lives. I have a life, surprisingly. And usually I'm on the end of waiting for people to contact me back because I never like to leave. Was that a sentence? I never like leaving people on read or delivered or sent or whatever. Because it's kind of like a people pleasing thing. But at the same time, it's like treat others the way you want to be treated. So like, okay, I'll get back to your message as humanly possibly as I can, like quick. Because I never like to wait for people. I'm very impatient. And yeah, I've already talked about how people make it. I guess I'll talk about that a little bit more. People make being on their phones look so important and interesting. It boggles my mind because I know that they're like not doing anything important, but it just looks like they are like maybe responding to a text message or email or something. Or maybe I look over to my friend and they're like texting and I'm like, but who are you talking to? Like, that's so important right now. I don't know. It's none of my business. I'm just so curious because I never have, I never have people to talk to like that, I guess. Or like, I don't have in-depth conversations out in public in front of people. It mainly just happens behind the scenes. But I do like to be present and in the moment. I hate being on my phone when I'm around people. The main reasons why I'm on my phone around people is probably like checking the time or just clearing out my notifications or, What was it? Like changing the music or trying to find something to show them. Rarely, whenever I do have to respond to somebody while I'm having a conversation with somebody in real life, it breaks my heart because I'm like, dude, I'm really invested in this conversation and I really don't want to like leave this person on read at the same time. So I'm like, I'm here still. I'm here for you and I'm here for them at the same time. I'm still listening. So don't like take this the wrong way. It's just overthinking. Yeah. And you know, monkey see, monkey do. So whenever I see people on their phone in public, I'm like, Yeah, I am just kind of sitting here like an idiot, so I guess I'll be on my phone too. Because it makes me feel like I should be doing it at the same time too. I don't know. Like, that's a thought that crosses my mind. What were people doing, like, in the 80s when there weren't any cell phones and they just had to sit in the waiting room? Like, what did they do? They read magazines? That makes me seem like I'm so young. I'm not. I'm pretty seasoned. Seasoned. Oh my gosh. Yep, don't like to leave people undelivered. Blah blah blah. Sorry, I'm going through my notes. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. That's pretty much all I have to say about the cell phones. Yeah. I think that technology is controlling us. The media, the internet is controlling us. Just kidding. I'm joking. I had a point. Let's I didn't grow up with a lot of technology. I talked about that last episode. Yeah, I talked about my phone and stuff. During the wintertime, I would be on my computer like 24/7, mainly because I was just playing video games with people, and mainly because my classes were online in high school. That sucked. I really hated online classes, but yeah, I probably like aged 12 years because I was staring at a screen so often. It was painful. But yeah, once the seasons change, that's when the that's when I start to be active. That's when I start to realize that I'm not controlled by my devices. Yeah, I have a couple. Why am I talking about this? I don't know. I don't know. I'm pretty much just sitting here, just waiting and sweating for some reason. All right, I apologize entirely. Let's see. Well, let's talk about what I really do on my phone. I just did. Anyways, continuing on whatever I was just talking about. I don't really need to be on technology. I feel like if someone were to take away my devices, I'd be fine. The only thing that I'd be concerned about is like wondering if anyone was contacting me, but I digress. I can go like maybe 3 days and no one really needs to contact me, and that's okay. I mainly just use it to contact my dad or whoever, or like Sonia. Yeah. Buh. Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm spiraling and I just keep talking about the same thing over and over again. But hopefully I'm not. Oh yes, that's where I was going. I want to talk about journaling. Did I say that right? Journaling. I picked up, when did I pick up journaling? Ooh, like a couple years ago, maybe 2019, 20, it was 2020. And I journaled in like these moleskins. God, that sounds disgusting. It's just a notebook. It's a notebook, everybody. I apologize. And I would handwrite things, or no, first I would either speak to text into my notes in my phone, and then I would put my phone on like a little thing so I could see it as I'm writing it down in my journal by hand. That made my hand hurt a lot, and I kind of had to relive what I wrote and what I was venting, which also didn't feel too good. And I rarely journal without putting it on my phone first or in my notes. But I started recently journaling in my laptop on like a Google Docs form and making it look pretty and stuff, you know. And it's really nice. I think I type a lot faster than I write, because when I tried to journal like years and years ago, and I'm like, dude, this is so hard because I have thoughts that should already be on the paper, but my hand is like the three paragraphs behind. And then I would like lose myself as I keep writing. I'm like, wait, what was I gonna write? I have no clue. With typing though, or just speak to text, it feels like I'm just talking out loud and then I can just go through it again and autocorrect everything. Yeah, and then I just email it to myself and then just copy and paste it into my Google Docs. And I was thinking about printing them out and then putting them inside of the notebook that I have so I could you know, if the world ends or something, or if technology goes down, then I don't lose all of that, the journal entries and stuff. I think it's helped me immensely. I have recently gone to therapy, but it's like every 2 weeks because my therapist gets either busy or like fills up her schedule before me, and I understand that. But in the midst of it, I journal, and even before I was going to therapy, like last year or this year, I would journal, and it's a great way for me to vent and get it off my chest. It's like writing an angry letter and throwing it out. Sorry, I was just thinking about the bee movie. Because that's what he said. It's like writing an angry letter and throwing it out. And ever since I watched that movie, I've always repeated that. I don't know, I thought it was like a common thing. Anyways, I think it's common. That just made me laugh. I'm sorry. Anyways, journaling, yes, it's a great way for me to vent, and it's a great way for anybody to vent, because then you don't feel, personally, this is how I used to feel, like, I don't feel like a burden, because I'm not typing this for anybody, I'm not going to send it to anybody, I'm not talking to anybody in that moment, you know, because I know that some people have a fear of trauma dumping. I have a fear of trauma dumping sometimes, but at the same time, it's like, oh, I just like to be vulnerable with people and, you know, share open stuff. But yeah, I feel like it's just a great way, because you're I feel like I'm trying to sell you something. I'm not. There's nothing sponsored here. I'm just advertising, hey, you can just write out your feelings in a book or in a Google Doc and feel 100 times better. It's not for everybody. I mean, I've spoken to people about it and they're like, yeah, I just haven't gotten into it or whatever. It's just not my thing. I'd rather talk to somebody, and I get that. Sometimes it's hard to explain to people how you feel. And I know that tons of people have problems doing that because I've talked to them about it. God, I'm just spilling everyone's secrets, aren't I? But I get that, where you're just like, dang, I feel this way and I don't really know how to tell anybody. But if you put your mindset into this journal, like, no one's going to read it but you, or unless you want other people to read it, but it's just something for you, and nobody else has to read it, and nobody's going to see it. So it's like this safe space and this comfortable thing where you can just be vulnerable with yourself and only yourself. And then you can read it, like, a couple years go by, and you can read your old entries and feel like, wow, like, I totally understand, because I was that person and I went through that exact thing. So I totally get where you're coming from, me, you know? And I've done that. I've read a couple passages. I tend not to read my passages or chapters or entries or whatever, because then I relive it and I don't give myself enough time to, like, get over that stuff. So then I get angry about it again and, like, oh, I don't let it consume me. I just am like, dang, that really still upsets me. And I can understand why. There's nothing, I don't think there's anything else that I've read or had to read where I knew exactly what I was going through, because it's like, I don't know what 5-year-old me was going through when I wrote, like, a Father's Day note to my dad. Like, that's just me doing a prompt that the school told me to. But with journaling, I can go in full depth, baby. I can tell you what I wore that day. I can tell you what I ate, what I did, how I felt about it. And I can just picture myself right back to when I was writing that entry. And it's, like, amazing how just with a couple context clues, I can remember that instantly. Maybe that's just how the human mind works. I'm going to take a sip of water because I am famished. Delectable. Oh, yes, I quite enjoy journaling. Sometimes I'll just, sorry if the mic's making noise. Sometimes I'll just go to, like, the Murano Campus Center and go to this, like, little lounge in the corner, pull out my laptop, put on some tunes, and just type away my feelings, bro. It's awesome. It's amazing because I look To other people, I look like I'm being productive. To myself, I'm getting something done that I want to get done. And at the same time, making myself feel good because I'm being productive, in my opinion, and because I'm venting and relieving stress. So it's like, it's a triple quadruple win. It's the best thing ever to me, and I have an addiction with it. I love it entirely. It's the same addiction as, like, putting pictures in boxes on Pinterest. I freaking love Pinterest. Oh my gosh. Anyways, I've picked up reading again. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I picked up reading again. I'm reading this book by John Hammond. Yeah, he's really quite exquisite. I don't know. That's just what I thought of when I said I picked up reading. Like, this guy catching up with his friend over coffee in the city or something. I'm an avid reader. Not really that much. Let me see, like, I have, like, I'd say 17 books, and I've only read, like, six, because I'm reading one right now. Yeah. I do enjoy it, a lot. There's so many different types of books. Why am I... Sorry, I'm kind of losing track of what I'm trying to say at the same time. Maybe I should journal about it. The point is, I've read so many good books, so many bad books in my span of 6 books to choose from. In my span of, like, opinion ranges. I've read terrible books. And let me tell you, those terrible books were the ones that they gave to us in school. 100%. Always hated them. Like, I could hate the book before they even let us read the first chapter. I will hate it because they're forcing me to read something. And let me tell you, adult money mixed with adult action equals good book choices. There are so many book recommendations I want to read. Anyways, the point being, yeah, that's the point. I keep picking up, accidentally, in a way, these books. Let me just reach over here. This one is called Goodbye Again by Johnny Sun. It's essays, reflections, and illustrations. So, yeah, it just categorizes essays. That's funny. It's basically, the whole book is like journal entries. He states it in the book, where he's like, yeah, I just type this out whenever something happens or whenever I'm feeling or thinking, whatever, just to keep me sane. And I've read a book similar to this. It was actually Dodie Clark's book. She's a musician, and I think she's still a YouTuber. She was a YouTuber more avidly back in the day. But her book is Secrets for the Mad: Obsessions, Confessions, and Life Lessons. And, like, pretty life-changing stuff in there for me. It's so strange how just words on paper surrounded by cardboard, I think that's what they're made of, cardboard, can change your perspective and change your, like, life habits. Like, when I read Dodie's book, she talked about, like, self-love and self-care and just all of these things, like, so personal, so traumatic. It felt like I was reading messages or, like, letters that my friend sent me, even though I've never met or really know the author in real life. And even with this book by Johnny Sun, it's so relatable, and it's so weird because how can, let me think, how old is she? She was like early 20s. How can a early 20-year-old, a 17-year-old back in the day, and a like 34-year-old all have the same feelings about a certain thing? You know what I mean? Like, we all have anxiety, and we all, like, I'm trying to figure out the word. We all have anxiety, and we all relate to the same experiences and the same feelings. And it's just the matter of, like, when this person writes the book. I understand everybody, there are tons of people in this world who go through the same thing as pretty much everybody else. Everybody who has anxiety can relate to the same things. You know, that's why you see posts on Twitter and you're like, oh my god, I like that, that's me. But I don't know, something so weird. People think, like, oh, books are boring and like, how can a book change your life? It's like, no, how can somebody change your life? How can an author change your life in that sort of manner? Sorry, I'm getting really passionate about this because I freaking love these good books. They're so good. Whether it's a love story about some indie teenager in this slumpy town, or like a 30-year-old who was a writer on BoJack Horseman talking about his anxiety about going to parties and stuff, or a 20-year-old talking about how she needs to stop picking her face and stuff. Like, no matter, all of those books, all these books I read have like molded me in a certain way. And it feels, like I said, it feels like I'm just listening or reading one of my friend's messages, because it's like so personal, even though I've never met these people before. I've started like annotating my book, Goodbye Again, with these little sticky notes. And I don't know, I started reading it at night, and it just like made me have these like epiphanies in a way. I'm like, wow, I guess I'm really not alone, truly, in this factor. Like, this old man, no, he's not that old, this old man just had a like feeling at this age when I had that feeling at a certain age, like younger than him. I don't know, it just kind of blows my mind. I don't really know what my point is. Anyways, it's a really good book. I recommend it. Support your local businesses. yeah. With the Doty book, that gave me a swift kick in the booty to pick up my skincare routine again, to actually start caring about my skin and, you know, yeah. I don't know, I just went out and I bought new products that were actually good for me and cruelty-free and whatever, and what I wanted and what I needed and stuff. And the way that she worded it was just like, oh, it kind of, in a way, I won't lie, it kind of romanticized it a little bit, but at the same time, it's like, if you don't romanticize things, then how are you going to get stuff done? I know we talked about romanticizing before in an episode, but it really does help. And I love romanticizing so much. You already know that. but yeah, any book recommendations I will highly take. I have a Pinterest board with like tons of books that I want to read, and just not enough time and money in my case. I have many books that I haven't really even finished. There's a book that I've bought in like years ago and I still haven't touched, like this Dear Evan Hansen one, or like, I don't know what that one's called. Anyways. Let's talk, we got a couple more minutes, maybe. Let's talk about, spending. Like, excuse me, I keep getting a urge to burp, but I don't. What is it called? It's not window shopping. It's shopping. Oh my gosh, what's it called when you buy things for therapeutic reasons, like to make yourself feel good? Oh my god, I'm going to flip out in a minute because I can't think of it. What is it called? Oh my gosh. Like, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Anyways, it's gonna come to me. when you buy things, oh my god, this is so annoying, and it's supposed to be so annoying for anyone else listening. They're like, dude, it's this, and I'm like, I don't really know that in the moment. Anyways, I'm just gonna describe it a little bit more. I usually go out and buy things sort of frivolously, but in the end, it's for my happiness. Like, if I want vines for my room, if I want Halloween decorations or garland for my house, or a book because it looks interesting and I'm just craving like that romanticization of going to the bookstore and buying it, like, because it makes me feel good. God, it's right on the tip of my tongue and I can't really think about it. Yes, but if there was a way, or like a website where you could look at all of my purchases, there would be a theme. It's like gay, like sad, obsessed with like frogs and plants and stuff and all these aesthetic artistic things and plants and stuff. It's just so funny to me because I'm looking around my room right now and it's just like, dang, I really purchased a Kirby plushie and now I have a little cowboy hat on top of it. Isn't that just adorable? And I did it because it made me happy. Like, I didn't need it, and I just bought it because I wanted to. God, after I'm done recording this episode, I'm gonna remember what that word is, or that phrase, when you... God damn it! It's really bothering me, because it's so simple. Anyways, but yeah, that feeling of when you order something online that you're really excited for, whether it's like a vinyl from your favorite artist, or a plushie or something, or merch, or just clothes in general, and you're just like, yeah, I can't wait for it to get delivered to my house. Like, it's coming. I'm watching the tracking and it's happening and it's coming to my door and it's here. And I open the door and I open the package and it's beautiful and I love it. I'm gonna take a sip of water. Yeah, whatever that is. Oh my God, I can't. It makes me so upset. I'm looking at my window right now, which is covered in plants pretty much. And there's a, what are they called? The little window sticky things, you stick them onto your window. It's just a skeleton and he's got little, his little hands are out and he's got a witch hat on. Like, I didn't need to buy that, but for a dollar, I bought it and it's on my window because ever since I was a kid, I wanted those little window sticky squishy thingies for like the holidays. Adult money and a child mindset is a dangerous deal, but at the same time, it's not. Ugh. I smell something being cooked. It smells spicy. I'll stop. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. We're almost out of time, but I just want to dive into this a little bit. Talk about the universe, maybe. Okay. So pretty much every morning and every night, I do my skincare routine and I like recite mantras that are on my little mirror, like little sticky notes or whatever. And, you know, I think we did talk about this, Sonia and I, where we both believe in, like, everything happens for a reason, and there's, like, this sort of universal presence or whatever. And I've gotten into tarot cards, not recently, I've had them for a while, but every once in a while when I'm really down or I feel like I'm really disconnected and I need something to pull me back in and make me, ooh, that sounds really depressing, but, like, something to make me feel like I need to look forward to something again, you know, I pull out the old tarot cards. I thought they were pronounced tarot cards, because why would you put a T at the end of something that does not pronounce it? Anyways, that's English for you. Pretty much every time I take them out, it's like months go on without me using them, but let me get to the point. They're scarily correct. Sorry, I keep moving the mic around. It's so scary. You know, I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. There's probably nothing out there. There's probably no universal pull. And I'm not, like, disrespecting it. I'm not knocking it. But, like, there could be nothing that makes this happen. There could be nothing that happens for a reason. But it's so scary how these random cards that I pull can mean something that applies to me. And it's kind of like Zodiac, what is it called? Just like Zodiac descriptions? You know, it's like, oh, Geminis are this, or Cancers are this, or whatever. Where it's something really vague that can apply to anything. But in this case, it's like scarily, like, wow. You know, it's told me before. Like, oh yeah, you need to get your shit together and your person, this friend needs help, or this will come naturally to you, like, blah, blah, blah. Very vague stuff, but in the end, it's another thing that gives me serotonin and makes me, oh my God, it makes me just happy again, because it's like, oh my God, I just picked a random card and looked up what it meant, and it's like, correct. Sometimes I do pick cards and they're wrong. I'm like, nah, that doesn't really seem like it applies to me right now, but I'm not like, that's not going to make me stop pulling cards and asking questions and stuff. I don't know. It's just a little gay thing, you know? I collect rocks and crystals and hope that they heal me. I do that. I'll wear crystals and stuff and look up what they mean, and I'll be like, okay, well, I guess I'll put on the malachite for today because I need to get better from my sickness or whatever. Yeah. It's good to have little things like that. Whether it's reading a book, journaling, or just like a little hobby, something, you know, it really it bothers me when people don't have hobbies. I've met a couple people and they're like, yeah, I don't really do much at all. Like, they don't have any hobbies and I'm like scared of them. So I'm like, there's nothing that you're interested in? Like, not even like a little polished rose quartz that could heal you or bring love to your life? I'm like, no, I don't even knit. And I'm like, dude, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's probably just they don't walk around saying, oh yeah, I have a hobby of doing this. I don't know. I've been rambling this whole episode. I feel like this should be the last episode that I ever do solo for a while. I think I was burnt out a little bit from doing the last episode on my own. But I'm coming to a close right now for this episode. I apologize for just my unorganized ramblingness, but most likely 99.99% chance that Sonia will be back next episode. I think maybe she won't because her teeth won't be fully healed or something because of her stitches. I'm not sure. It takes a while for wisdom teeth surgery to heal. Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at sorta_helpful_podcast. Listen to us on Spotify or Castos. And pretty sure that's it. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. I love you dearly. Reach out to us on our Instagram if you have any questions or comments or concerns or just like topics you want us to talk about. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much. I love you. Bye bye.